The Gospel of John, chapter number 18. And we're going to read 15 through 18, but we're going to deal with 15 down through verse number 27. The story of Peter's denial is interwoven here. And rather than to take it piece by piece over the next few weeks, we're going to take it as a whole today. And already I'm leaning on coming back to the same topic again next Sunday. We'll see how it plays out this week. But John 18, 15 through 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. As I studied this week on this passage of Scripture, I really was really overwhelmed with so much to say and so many thoughts, so many directions to go, and that's why I might continue this next week. I don't know if I will, but I may. You know, Jesus was rested in the night there in the Garden of Gethsemane. 500 plus Roman soldiers armed to the teeth, Jewish police, temple guards, Jewish leaders, maybe some onlookers, all came to arrest Jesus in the night from the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember, Peter drew his sword and swung and cut a fellow's ear off. And Jesus told him to put his sword back in its sheath, and Jesus healed that man's ear. But what you also know from that preaching through that portion is that the disciples fled, and they ran away, and they left Jesus to be arrested and marched back into the court alone. I don't know if you remember me saying that at this time in Jesus' life, it probably would have been nice if he could have been able to glance to the left or glance to the right and see his disciples alongside, but he didn't. He was alone. They had all fled. But we find out that Peter followed. The Bible says in another gospel, and all four gospels deal with this, another gospel writer tells us that Peter followed afar off. John also, it would seem that this other disciple that is, we read here in verses 15 to 18, it really would seem as though this other disciple was John, the writer. John never refers to himself by his name. He always refers to himself in a fairly generic term. And so it seems as though that this is John who knew the high priest. And it seems as though John came into the court area, and because he knew the high priest, was able to gain access into where Jesus was going through these trials and these investigations and whatnot. And when John realized or discovered that Peter had arrived late and was outside the door, John spoke to, because he knew the high priest, and He had not maybe authority, but he had privileges. And he spoke to the girl that held the door, that watched the door, and he asked her to let Peter in. So Peter comes in to an area where, because it is the night and it is the spring and it is chilly, there are no doubt Roman soldiers and Jewish people, possibly, who knows who, but they're all warming themselves around this fire. I picture maybe a burn barrel, you know, and they're all hovered over a burn barrel type of thing, warming themselves as these proceedings go on. And Peter comes in and he stands there with these, whether they're Jewish or whether there's some Romans there, we don't know. But he stands and he warms himself by this fire while the proceedings take place with Jesus. But what we see in these verses and the verses following is we see Peter on three separate occasions denying that he knew Jesus. And to me, verse number 17, it's sad. When the damsel that kept the door, she said to Peter, "Are you one of this man's disciples? Are you one of Jesus' disciples?" And he flat out lied and he said, "I am not." This is the first denial here. This young girl, this servant girl, this doorkeeper asks if Peter is Jesus' disciples, one of his disciples, and he says, "I am not." He denies it. In verse 25, if you were to look on down to verse number 25, we see here, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him," and it seems another gospel lets us know that this servant girl, this keeper of the door, kind of informed the other people around that she believed that this man here was a disciple of Jesus. And so verse 25, "He warms himself, and they said," a group of them said, art thou not also one of his disciples?" And he denied it. And Peter said a second time, "I am not. I am not a disciple of Jesus." And then we come down to verse number 26. And this is another occasion. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" And so this man here that's talking to Peter now was in the garden. He saw Peter swing his sword and take off his kinsman's ear. He saw the whole thing and he said, "Did I not see you there in the garden?" And Peter denied again. Now, the other gospels tell us that Peter got very agitated during these times. He claimed to not know what they were saying, what they were talking about. He one time called a man, you know, "Man, what are you talking about?" And he cusses and he swears and he denies again the third time that he knows Jesus. Peter then denied, verse number 27, denied again, and immediately the cock crows. How is it that Peter, without question, I think all of us would agree, without question, without debate, is one of the chief disciples? There were three, Peter, James, and John, that seemed to have a special closeness and intimacy with Christ. They seemed to be, if you will, in the inner circle. And so here, Peter, one of the chief disciples, how is it that he can deny knowing Jesus on three separate occasions here this night? I think there are two things at play, and when you get down to it, they're really one thing. But we're going to look at two separate things here this morning. I want us to see, first of all, his weakness. And I want to speak to us this morning about weakness and about our weakness. And I think that from that weakness, we can say, secondly, the second thing that took place here was his fear. Peter's denial is partly based on his weakness. a weakness born out of human frailty. I remind you that we are but as grass. We are but as a fading flower. We are here for a moment and then gone. I know that we like to think ourselves something. We like to think ourselves strong and mighty. We like to think ourselves as great. But that the truth is, in every area, we are weak. We are fading. We are here for but a short... Listen, most trees are here much longer than we are. After the Last Supper, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him and to await his arrest. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know we dealt with this, but he went deeper into the garden alone to pray. He left some disciples there on the edge of the garden, and he brought some in further into the garden with him, and then he asked them to watch and pray with him, and then he went still even further to pray alone. And he asked his disciples to watch and pray. And he checked on them a few times. The Lord Jesus Christ would pray for a little while, and then he would come and check on his disciples. And he found them, each time he found them sleeping. Now I want to be careful here, and I don't want to come off. I want to strike a balance this morning, and if I preach again on it next week, I want to try to strike a balance here. I don't want to seem too hard and so hard on Peter, and yet I don't want to give him a pass. I think we need to see his weakness. The Bible wants us to see his weakness. The Bible wants us all four gospel writers mentioned this. The Lord wants us to see it. He wants us to know it. And I understand that the disciples were overcome in body and mind and soul, in spirit. I know they were overcome with grief. I understand that. And the Bible tells us this is one of the reasons that, of course, it was in the middle of the night when they normally would be sleeping. And also they are overcome with grief and anxious. And the Bible tells us that this is one of the reasons that they were so tired, is because of the grief and the anxiousness and the worry. Besides, it's the middle of the night. So I don't want to pound Peter into the ground. And yet, I think we need to look at what the Bible wants us to look at, okay? So he checks on him from time to time, and each time he finds him sleeping. Matthew 26, 40 and 41, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray." Now look at this. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Jesus knows something here that Peter does not know. Jesus knows something about Peter that Peter does not know about himself. And this is true of all of us. Christ knows about us. He knows everything about us. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he tells Peter, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." In other words, Peter, you need to be praying for yourself, because your spirit indeed is willing, and we're going to see that when Peter draws the sword, but your flesh is weak. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. But of course, Peter fell asleep again. And by the time the soldiers arrived to make their arrest, it really was too late to do any kind of serious praying. It was too late to be praying for strength to deal with this situation. It was too late. The situation is now upon them. Christ warned Peter, "Watch and pray. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak." Peter went back to sleep. Now the situation is upon them. Now there is no time to pray for strength. Now there is no time to pray for wisdom. Now there is no time to pray that he enters not into temptation. It is too late. And I understand Sometimes situations catch us off guard. I understand that. I understand that sometimes we do not have time to prepare ourselves mentally and physically and spiritually. But in Peter's case, Jesus warned him to watch and pray, and he warned him that his flesh was weak. Peter did wrong by going to sleep. A young servant girl asked Peter a simple question. I don't think, and some read it differently, but I really don't think that she was in any way threatening him. I think the question was probably out of curiosity. It seems to be just that, a question of curiosity. And Peter, in his weakness, breaks down and answers with a lie, "I am not." Now listen, brothers and sisters. A few hours earlier, Peter had pledged to never forsake Jesus. Peter had pledged this, to never forsake Jesus. He had promised, even though Jesus told them that they would be offended at him, that they would depart from him, that they would leave him. Peter promised, "I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will not be offended at you. I will not run away from you. I will go all the way with you." And Peter promised in that upper room, "I will die with you." And then he buckles at a simple question from a young servant girl. Just hours earlier, he had promised, "I will never leave you. I'll die with you. I'll go to the end with you." And here he buckles at a simple question of curiosity from a young servant girl. How little we really know our hearts, brother and sister. How really little we know our hearts. In fact, I've said many times that if great tribulation should come upon this earth and I should be here for any type of persecution against a believer, and it's not unthinkable because Christians are persecuted even today all around the world. And so it's not unthinkable, all right? It's not unthinkable that one of these days the great freedom that we enjoy as Americans could come crashing down. That's not unthinkable. Your brothers and sisters, the world over today are suffering. And today, the Lord's Day, they're being hunted. Today, your brothers and sisters in Christ are being hunted. Not all of them, but some of them. China, Turkey, different places around the world. They're being hunted. They're hunting for that secret church. They're hunting for that underground church. They're hunting for that home where believers are huddled, quietly praying and quietly singing and worshiping God today. And so it's not unthinkable that it would happen here in America. But I've said over and over again, I would hope that I would have the boldness and the bravery and the commitment to die for Christ if need. I would hope that I would have that. Many believers have. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many believers have been, they've been bold and they've been brave and they've been committed. And they've died for the cause of Christ. Many of the men who brought us the Bible down through the ages died for that cause. And I would hope, but the truth is, I doubt my flesh. I don't know what my flesh would do in a time like that. How little we understand our own weaknesses. How much we overestimate and overstate our strength, and how much we overstate and overestimate our commitment to God. How much we overestimate and overstate our commitment to Jesus Christ, and really, how weak are we? I have a hard time saying no when it comes to food. And And when it comes to food that I know will hurt me adversely, and I know what foods, will hurt me. I know what they'll do to me. I know how they will zap my energy and they'll take my energy. I know what foods will make me sleepy, make me tired. I know that. I've discovered it finally after many, many years. And yet when faced with some delicious little blueberry pie, yes, I ate it this morning, Shannon, and I immediately felt guilt. And I sat in my office later that morning and my blood sugar began to do weird things, and I thought, you idiot. Really? You just couldn't say no to that little round blueberry pie. And so, brother and sister, the point I'm trying to make is, I'm weak. I admire people who you know have the strength and the commitment and the fortitude to say no to bad food and to exercise and to, you know, even though bodily exercise is profitable a little, you know, even though the spiritual is much more important, I admire those people. I do. I admire them. The question is, how weak really are we? Peter's denial of Jesus was no doubt a result and a consequence of his enormous self-confidence. He was so confident. He said, I'll not leave. And all men might forsake you, but I'll not forsake you. He was so confident. So this denial is a result, no doubt, of his enormous confidence, but also, more importantly, his refusal to heed the warning of Jesus. Jesus has now warned him at least twice. As well as his lack of self-denial in the garden that led to a lack of neglect of prayer. Matthew 26, the scripture I've been referencing, Matthew 26, 31 to 35. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that this night, Peter saying, I'll never be offended at you. I will die with you. Jesus says, Peter, this very night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said the other disciples. Peter wasn't alone in this. But he's got this enormous self-confidence, and he ignores the warnings of Jesus. Jesus warned him here in the upper room, you will deny me. Peter said, I will not. Peter looked Jesus in the eyes and said, no, that's wrong. I won't. He had warning. And then in the garden, you're weak. Pray for yourself that you don't enter into temptation. And Peter does not heed the warnings. Beware, Christian brother and sister, of being overconfident in your own strength. Beware in being overconfident in your spiritual resolve. If a certain scenario were to come upon you, you could easily collapse like a house of cards. Now listen, you could easily collapse. And that is after you say, no, I would not. I am strong in that area. So where you think you are strong and where you have confidence in the areas you have confidence in and the areas you believe you have strength in, you could easily fold like a house of cards under the right circumstance. Peter was a chief disciple, a follower of Jesus. And we see that he tells a cowardly lie in a moment of weakness. Augustine says of Peter this, quote, "Behold, that most firm pillar of the church, touched but by one breath of danger, trembles all over. Where is now that boldness of promising, that confident vaunting of himself?" End quote. Peter, the pillar of the church, touched by one breath of danger by a young servant girl. Where is that boldness of promising now? Where is that confident vaunting of yourself? An hour earlier, Peter draws and swings his sword against an entire army of armed men. And now he denies and lies about being a Christian as he stands before one servant girl. It reminds me, was it Elijah that stood against the prophets there on Mount Prophets of Baal? Elijah stood against the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. I mean, one man against a whole slew of men. And then Jezebel said one little thing and he ran like a scared rabbit. Peter draws his sword and swings against an army of armed men. And now he lies and denies being a Christian as he stands before one servant girl. I suspect part of the difference is that when he drew his sword, he was in a crowd with other disciples. And here at the fire, he's alone. And there's Jews and maybe some Romans, but he's not among friends. A lot of people have confidence when they're in a crowd. A lot of people have confidence when they're in the crowd, but you separate them, and one by one, they're timid. Peter projects strength and confidence when all is calm and all is well. He continues to act strong and confident when he's in a group of friends. But when all is danger and uncertainty, and when Peter finds himself alone, his weakness takes center stage. Brother and sister, your weakness, now listen to me, your weakness is not necessarily a sin. But the Bible does tell you not to put any confidence in the flesh. The sin comes about when you ignore your weakness and you boast of your strength. And the sin comes about when you brush off the warnings of Christ. And the sin comes about when you fail to prepare yourself for spiritual battle by watching and praying. And the sin comes about when you deny being a Christian. We all have weaknesses. That is not necessarily the sin, but it is the ignoring of those weaknesses and the brushing off of the warnings and the failing to prepare for those weaknesses. And then finally, the denying of Christ that is the sin. We all have weaknesses. It's what we do concerning those weaknesses that makes the difference. If Peter had believed Christ's warning when he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." If Peter had heeded that warning, if Peter had heeded Christ's warning when he said, "This night the cock shall crow and you'll deny me three times." If he had heeded that warning, he may have denied himself a little garden nap. He may have watched and prayed that 1 hour, no matter how hard it was. And by the grace and strength of God, he may have had victory over that weakness. And if he had heeded the weakness and if he had prayed, he may have been able to say to that little servant girl, "Yes, I am a follower of Jesus of Nazareth." Brother and sister, this is probably why I want to continue next week, but Peter did eventually learn his lesson. And he exhorts you and I. He exhorts you and I in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And Peter warns us and he tells us to be to be vigilant, to be sober, to be serious, that there is an enemy out there that is seeking us. But it wasn't just his weakness. Peter's denial is also based partly in his fear, which of course is a weakness. We must give Peter a little bit of credit here. While the other disciples ran away, while Jesus was in the garden being arrested, Peter did follow, but he followed from afar off. He followed from a great distance. There is no question that fear gripped his heart. Peter followed his master out of love, but he followed afar off out of fear. Anyone can see the mixed feelings raging in Peter's heart and mind here. You can see it. While the other disciples slipped away into the darkness and probably went to the safety of their family and friends, Peter did follow, but he did so from afar off. He probably followed at such a great distance that he could just barely see the light of the lanterns ahead of him. Yes, Peter loved the Lord Jesus Christ greatly. And yet he was very afraid. Love made him ashamed to simply run away and hide like the others had done. But fear and cowardice made him afraid to stay close and acknowledge that he was indeed a friend and follower of Jesus Christ. Peter followed at a distance, midway between courage and cowardice. His fear ended up stronger than his love. With each question, actually, with each time he's asked, we can probably see why his fear heightens and why he becomes more and more agitated. The first time it was that little servant girl. But the second time he was asked by several people, by a group of people. And that would be, you know, that, I mean, if he was afraid of the servant girl, now there's several people around the fire asking him. That's going to strike even more fear into his heart. And the third time was when he was asked by the family member of the fellow that he had injured. And so we can see how the fear might mount in his heart. With each question, he got more aggravated and more irritated. He began to get more boisterous. He claimed to not even know what they were saying. He finally began to curse and swear and continue to lie and deny that he knew Jesus. Brother and sister, the Bible tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Peter, here's a perfect example of being afraid of man and of being caught in a terrible snare. Jesus taught his disciples to not fear them which can kill the body, but fear him that can kill both body and soul, destroy both body and soul, and cast into hell. Peter should have instead feared lying about Jesus. He should have feared denying that he knew Jesus. That's what he should have feared. He should have feared the one who could destroy both body and soul in hell. Brother and sister, when it comes to living right and when it comes to living godly, we should never fear the threats of man. We should never fear the response of man. We should never fear the disapproval of man. When it comes to living for the Lord and living godly and living a holy life, when it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never fear man. We should never fear the response of man or the disapproval of man or the threats of man. When it comes to living right and living godly, we should not fear the laws of man or the punishments of man. How was it that Daniel was able to pray to God knowing the punishment that awaited him? How was it that Shadrach and his friends were able to literally stand against the laws of Nebuchadnezzar knowing the punishment that awaited them? It's because they feared the God of heaven. They feared their creator. They feared their master more than they feared what man could do unto them. Daniel feared God more than he feared the laws. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego feared God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar and his silly law to bow to the idol. Poor Peter. He feared what the Jews and the Romans might do to him if they found out he was a follower of Jesus Christ. So he lied. He denied. He got mad. He cursed. He swore. And then in a moment of silence, just about sunrise, as Peter stands in front of the fire warming himself, the rooster begins to crow. And the Bible says that Jesus, as they're taking him from one place to another, he turns and he looks at Peter. And that rooster crowing and that look from Jesus, and Peter is reminded of the words of Christ. And Peter turns away and leaves and begins to weep bitter tears of sorrow, regret, and no doubt repentance. How was it that a chief disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the inner group, one of the top three, how is it that he could stand there and a little servant girl ask if he knew Jesus, and he lies and denies? How is it? Because Peter was overconfident. He denied his weakness first. He did not heed the warnings of Christ. He did not prepare for temptation. He did not prepare for the weakness of his own flesh. And he failed. Now, it's interesting. I think the only two times, I'm not sure, but I believe the only two times that the term coals of fire are mentioned, I believe in the New Testament, the first time that's mentioned is here, where Peter's warming himself in the middle of the night and he's denying Christ. And I think the second time that we see the coals of fire in the New Testament is on the beach where Jesus is cooking fish. And Jesus and Peter finally, for the first time after the resurrection, have a heart to heart. And Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "You know I love you." So there at the fire of coals, he denies the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And the next time you see him over a fire of coals, Christ asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter, three times, like he had denied Christ, he three times stated his love for Christ. And it was there at that coal of fire that Christ set him right and set him in forward motion. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And from that day forward, Peter became really a pillar in the first church. Brother and sister, you have weakness, and maybe even you have fear, and you need to deal with those. You need to heed the warnings of Christ. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his word. May God bless his little flock at Beth Haven. And may God truly give us boldness to stand for Christ. Let's pray. Father.